Amen. Well, good to be here tonight. Good to see you in the Lord's house. You know, thinking about these people who've been married 25 years, you know, that's the grace of God. It really is, especially this day and time we live in. And I've been married 25 years. I know it's the grace of God. You know, someone said, beauty is skin deep, ugly is to the bone. Beauty will fade away, but ugly will hold its own. That's true, ain't it? Amen. I tell you, we all change as time goes on. But I thank God for my wife. I thank God for her love towards me, and I love her. And as Pastor said many times, I love her more now than I ever have. And it's only by the grace of God, though, really, that we're still together. I must confess that it is. I mean, anything can happen just like that to any of us. And, you know, we're still in this body, aren't we? Still in this flesh. And we don't want to give it one inch, you know, especially our minds. And because Satan knows how to get us. He really does. Are you glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. And my wife and I were off this week a little bit. And we had a good time together. And it's always good to be back in fellowship, though. Good to be in with God's people in God's house. And I'm glad that I'm here tonight. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. I want to speak just a few minutes tonight on the value of church attendance. The value of church attendance. Across the world today, church attendance is dwelling down. I'm talking about in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. The numbers are getting less and less. People are going to the mega churches to be entertained. They're going to get the flesh pleased and entertained, but they're not getting any substance. Not getting anything to help them be a better Christian. And sad to say, that's the way the majority of the world is today. I'm grateful tonight for the opportunity to be at this church. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for every one of you that make up this church. Without you, this church would be nothing. The church is people, a called out assembly, a congregation of people. And what a joy it is to be part of God's church. People that love the Lord and people want to serve the Lord. Tonight, as we look at the value of church attendance, why do you come to church? Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? That makes me sick. However, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christian do you want to be? Church, to me, is the most important place, the most important place I can go in my life. We need to go to work. We have to go to work to make a living. But there's something special about the church, by coming to church. There's something special about being together tonight, you know, to see my brothers and sisters in Christ coming together. Setting apart things in the world that you could be doing. You could be watching golf. You could watch Phil Mickelson get a birdie. That's pretty good, ain't it? He's good. I like to watch him. I really do. He's a down-to-earth guy. I like to see him play golf. I love to see golf played. I'm not a golf player. I'd be in the woods like he is more than anything else. But anyway. But I love to see people that enjoy what they do. And I enjoy coming to church. And I know you do. I'm speaking to a crowd tonight because you're here on Sunday night. You're here on Father's Day. You love to be here. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here tonight. But I'm glad that we can come to church. It's very important to attend church, folks. It's very important in your life as a Christian. A Christian cannot survive apart from being at church. Now, listen, I'm saying this to say this. If the only thing you're hearing from God is what you hear from church, You're not going to be the Christian that God wants you to be. But when you come to church, there's something about being in God's house with God's people that encourages us. First of all, we find it's important, church attendance is, because of the inspiration we get from being here. When we walk in these doors back here, we hear Sister Joy, Sister Denise playing the instruments, playing these old hymns that we sing week after week, time after time that we come in here. What a joy it is to hear these instruments playing these songs. As we come in, we humming in our own mind, our own heart, the words of these songs that they play. It's an inspiration to me to hear these dear ladies play the instruments. Bobby and Brother Kelly on the guitars. What a joy it is, you know, to have this kind of inspiration in God's house where God's people come. The congregation singing. Brother Ken picks out good songs every week. Listen, in the hymn book we have, there's not a bad song. They're all good. It doesn't matter which one it is. They're all good. But just to stand together as a congregation of believers and sing these wonderful old songs and look at the message that is in these hymns and how they speak to our hearts, this is encouraging to me. It's inspiring to me to be in God's house. Just to hear the specials that are sung, the choir, as they sing. As Brother Ken leads the choir, it's inspiring to me to hear and to see this week after week, week after week. Listen, let's don't take for granted what we have here. Good singing, good choir singing, good specials, good preaching, good teaching. It doesn't matter who's speaking or who's teaching. When we come to God's house, it's good, something good for us. Therefore, if it's encouraging, it's inspiring to us to be here. Even like preacher mentioned tonight, the anniversaries, the birthdays. That's good. It's good. It's inspiring to know that God can bless people to be together for 25 years and live together. It's good that somebody can have a birthday and be 50, 60, 80 years old, whatever it is. That's inspiring to us. You know, realizing that, you know, that God's people are blessed people. So we find that, first of all, coming to church is inspiring to us. Number two, coming to church is instruction for us. We get instruction from God's Word. See, the Bible is the only source that we have to give out. By the way, this is the only source that we need to give out, the Word of God. And in God's Word, we have instruction for our life as a Christian. Therefore, if I never come to God's house, I'll never hear the Word of God preached and taught to me. I'll never be instructed the way God wants to instruct me, that I might live my life the way He wants me to live my life. So we get instruction from the Word of God. We get inspiration from attendance also. And then because we're inspired and because we've been instructed, we want to be involved. You know, we want to participate in God's services when we come to God's house. And what a joy it is to be able to sing in a group, to be able to go out on visitation on Thursday night with some people and try to win people to Christ. My wife and I went out with the youth not too long ago. What an encouragement it was to us to go with them. It's always encouraging to do something for the Lord together with God's people, no matter what it is. So we find that church attendance is very, very important to us. Now, look in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20 here, I want to begin reading with verse number 19. Father, let's pray first. Father, we thank You tonight for this opportunity to be in Your house again. We thank You, dear God, for this special day, Lord, as fathers have been honored. And God, we thank You for each one that's in this church. And Lord, just pray You continue to bless them. And Lord, lead and guide their lives. And God, lead and guide each one of us. God, as we go through every day, Lord, somehow may our lives count for You. Lord, I'm thankful tonight for these that have set aside the things of the world, Lord, to be together once again in Your house. And God, I pray now, Lord, as we come, may the Spirit of God be our teacher. May He lead us and guide us now in the words that we're going to say. Lord, we don't know what we're going to say. Lord, we're just trusting You tonight, Lord, to give us what Your people need tonight. Dear God, now meet with us. Again, may You have Your will and way in our hearts and lives. Lord, tonight as we look tonight at how important it is to attend church, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19, these are familiar verses. I want to read them. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Notice now, Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, that is Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with them, and Thomas with them. This is 8 days later. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, we see here in this passage of Scripture the importance of church attendance. When Jesus came to his disciples, first of all, we find that Thomas was not with them. He was not there. We don't know why he was not there. But the Scripture says he was just not there with them. But we also see that what Thomas missed by not being there. By not being there. What did he miss? First of all, we find that he missed the fellowship with others that he needed because he had prone to doubt. If Thomas had been with Jesus, with the disciples, the first time Jesus had come, he would not have doubted. But he doubted. Because he was not there. Now, the first step in doubting God's word, the first step in doubting God, is to stay away from God's house and stay away from God's word. Now, we see this evident in the life here of Thomas. If he'd been where he ought to have been, he would have done what he did. He would not have doubted. But he did that. So we find here, what did Thomas miss? First of all, he missed the fellowship with other disciples. The fellowship with other disciples. Those that are not here tonight are missing the fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so important that we have fellowship one with another. We encourage one another by being together. Those that are not here, I can look around and I can name a lot of people that are not here tonight. And I can say to you, I miss them. I wish they were here. I don't know why they're not here. It's not for me to say. It's not for me to judge them. But I can say this, I miss them because they're not here. And therefore, if you look around, you can say the same thing. You miss their fellowship. You miss the opportunity to speak to them and wish them a good week or whatever you could do to encourage them tonight. So we find here that Thomas, he missed the fellowship with the disciples because he was not with Jesus the first time he appeared to the disciples. Here, we also see that he missed the food from the Word of God, which would help his faith. See, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, can you imagine being in a room with 11 people, and all of a sudden somebody appears in the room with you, not opening the door, but he just comes in. That is Jesus. My, all of us, no doubt, would be afraid like they were. But Jesus says, Peace be unto you. He gave them the word to feed them. He gave them the word to help them to realize, hey, it's me. It's Jesus, the Savior of mankind, that is now with you. The one that you've been following for 3.5 years plus. It's me, is who it is. He gave them meat. He gave them food to encourage them. But yet, see, Thomas was not there. He was not there, and he missed the food that come forth from Jesus. When you're not here on Wednesday night, when you're not here on Sunday morning, I'm not here on Sunday night, we miss the food that is available for us. Pastor said so many times, the table has been set. The message has been studied. The lesson has been studied. Now it's time to present the lesson. It's time to present the message. And whatever that lesson or that message may be, it's food for me. And it's food for you to be encouraged. And therefore, Thomas, he missed that. He missed the fellowship with the disciples. He missed the food that Jesus had available for him when he was not there with them. We also see not only that, but he missed the first appearance of the Lord with the disciples. He missed the first appearance. Listen, folks, that was a big miss. That was a big miss. To be not present with the disciples at the first appearing of the Lord to them. That was a big miss. It really was. But yet he missed that because he was not present with the disciples. He was not present with the disciples. Now, so we find here that Thomas, being a doubter, being an individual that was not present with the Lord, with his fellow disciples, his fellow brethren, when Jesus appeared to him, he was prone to doubt. He missed the food that was available for him. And he missed the very first appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ with the disciples. A tremendous loss because he was not where he should have been. He's not where he should have been. Now, I believe that God's people aren't to be in God's house. There are times we can't be here. There are times that we, choose not to be here for whatever reason. But the best place in the world for God's people is to be in God's house. There's no other place tonight that I'd rather be than in God's house. My wife and I were not here Wednesday night. But I can assure you, we were in church Wednesday night. In fact, the pastor said to me, Pastor, that night at the church, he said, do I need to send a letter to your pastor to let you know you're at church? I said, if you want to, that's fine. Wherever we are, we're going to try our best to be in church because church attendance is important to me. Amen. And I know it is to you because you're here tonight. Now, I want you to turn back to Psalm 122. Thomas missed the blessings of God because he was not with the disciples. Not with the disciples in the upper room. In Psalm 122, we find here David is writing. And we find here that David is also mentioning the importance of attending God's house. We see that as we read this, Jerusalem is called a beautiful city. I can't imagine the splendor and the beauty of Jerusalem in the day of David. Walls, big walls, gates. I mean, it was a pretty place. It was a beautiful place. And this is where they went to worship the Lord. They went there. They went to the temple there at Mount Zion in Jerusalem. We find also later on they went to the tabernacle when it was established. But we have the privilege, folks, of coming to God's house to worship the Lord. Now, I want us to notice something here about David and what he says. Now, I want us to picture tonight, if you will, please, that Jerusalem is a type of the gospel church that we know today. Okay? Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, in this passage of scripture, I want us to picture it as a type of the gospel church that we're in tonight. Okay? Now, I want you to notice here, in verse number 1, David said this, I was glad. Now, I like to be glad, don't you? Number one, we're going to talk about the joy with which they went to Jerusalem, or the joy in which we can come to church. I was glad, David said. I was glad. We notice here the gladness. I was glad. When you're glad, your heart is drawn towards something, isn't it? Your heart is drawn. Your soul is filled with peace and joy when you are glad. David said, I was glad. I was glad. He was happy. He was joyful about something that was about to take place at this time. He said, I was glad. We notice his personal testimony. He was glad. In Psalm 23, verse 6, David said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever. Let that be instruction for me, and let that be instruction for you tonight. If we want God's mercy and God's blessing to be upon us, be faithful to God's house all the days of our life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you and follow me if we'll be faithful to God's house. I like that. I'm glad today to know that. He said, I was glad. I was glad, David said. I was rejoicing. I was full of joy. I was full of gladness about something that is about to be made known to him here. Notice also, that's his personal testimony. I want you to notice another thing. I want you to notice the announcement. Why he was glad. Why was David glad? He says, I was glad. Notice, when they said unto me. When they said unto me. Now, there are things that people say to me. There are things that people say to you that don't make you glad, right? But there are also things that people say to you and to me that make us glad. We're happy about. We're happy about. And we find here that David says, I was glad when they said unto me. When they said unto me. Now notice here. When they said unto me. In other words, when the time has come now. The time has arrived. Okay? When they said unto me. We see here, when it was in time for it to be said. When they said unto me, we see here what happened. The announcement was made. The announcement was given. He says, I was glad when they said unto me. Notice not only the announcement was joyful, but also the invitation was joyful. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Notice also, we find here, it was the desire of his heart. When somebody says something to you and you're glad, there's a desire in your heart to hear what they have said. David had a desire in his heart to tune in to what was now fixing to be said, because he had a desire to be glad about something here that was about to take place in his life here. We also said, I see here that it was a challenge. It was a challenge to him to want to know what he's fixing to say. He said, I was glad when they said unto me. When they said unto me. We see here the proposal here. The announcement here. Now, what was David so glad about? He said, first of all, I was glad when? When they said unto me. When they said unto me. Now, what was David glad about? What was David so happy about? What was he so joyful about? What was he so enthused about? Notice what it says in the next part of the verse. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David could not wait to go to God's house. This was a place he enjoyed going to. This was the place he longed to be in. God's house. God's house. He says, I can't hardly stand. I want to go. Here is an announcement. Here is an invitation proposed to David. Here, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Pastor invites us back on Sunday night. He invites you back to church on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, he invites you back to church on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, he invites you in church, back to church on Sunday night. Are we glad? Are we glad for that invitation? Are we glad for that welcome them? Come back to God's house. Come back to God's house. Come back to God's house. You say, Brother Heath, I get tired of coming to church. No, you don't. I rejoice in the fact I can come back to God's house. I rejoice in the fact. I want to be glad always when I have the opportunity to be in God's house. It's so important, folks, to be here. It's so important. And the more we come, this is not good English, but it's Johnson County language, okay? The more we come, the more we rejoice in coming back to God's house. It's always good. The more joy we have, the more excited we come about being in God's house. Listen, it only takes one service to miss. One service to miss. And you begin to doubt. You begin to doubt. You begin to fret. And Satan would say, well, hey, listen, you missed Sunday night. You don't have to go back tonight. You don't have to go back tonight. But you know what the good thing is? Don't miss. And you won't have to hear about saving. Satan won't say that to you. Because he knows you're going to be here anyhow. He knows you're going to be here anyhow. You know, my dad and my mama were faithful to church. This is Father's Day. I'll say something about my father. My father was a farmer. He was a poor man. We didn't have a lot. We had sufficient. But if there's anything I can say about my father coming up as a Christian, my father was a faithful man to God's house. He went, I know, for 31 years and never missed a service. For 31 years. The last 7 or 8 years he went. He went and he taught Sunday school. He went in on crutches. He stood up on crutches teaching the Sunday school class. He was faithful to God's house. If there's anything I learned from him was to be faithful to God's house. That's why I cherish God's house so much. Listen, folks. Sometimes we have the tendency to take for granted what we have. What we have. And what God has blessed us to be able to have in our lives. This church is a wall of protection for you and I. This church is a refuge for you and I. This church is a place for us to get away from the world. To let the world be the world. And we can come in and we can rejoice together. We can praise God together. We can worship Him. We can fellowship one with another. There's no place on earth, folks, like the church. Jesus Christ established the church. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you go much in the world today, you'll see Satan is really taking his toll on a lot of churches. Taking his toll. Taking a lot of things away from the church. But I thank God for the old traditional church. Where Bible believing, Bible teaching is important. Bible preaching is important. Soul winning is important. Attendance to God's house is important. Reading and studying God's Word together is important. There's no place like it. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Were you glad this morning when the preacher said, y'all come back tonight? You were because you're here. You're here. And I'm glad tonight to know that we can rejoice in the fact that we can come together and rejoice in the Lord in His house. Now notice verse number 2. Verse number 2, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now remember, I said I want to picture Jerusalem as a type of the gospel church today in which we live. He says, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. What a privilege it is, folks, to be in God's house tonight. Listen, it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. I didn't have to come to church tonight. I could get the opportunity to come tonight. It's just like tomorrow morning. If you got a job, you ought to thank God for it. And when you get up tomorrow, and I get up tomorrow, I should say, I get to go to work today. I get to go to work today. There may come a day I don't. I don't have a job. You know? There may be a day that you don't get to come to church. So we ought to take every opportunity we can to be in God's house. It's very, very important tonight. This is a get-to, not a got-to situation when it comes to coming to God's house. I get to come. It's not that I got to come. And I know some of you young people say, well, we got to go to church tonight. I've been there and done that and said that. But you ought to thank God you get to come. You ought to thank God you got parents that want you to come. That you might hear from God's Word and you might be encouraged to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as you journey along this way. Yes, we get to come to church. We also not only talk about the joy that we get in coming to church, we also see the esteem that we have in the church. Look at verse number 3. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. The churches, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. We find here the esteem. Again, there's a wall to protect the believer's liberty, a wall to keep out the world around Jerusalem. It's a big wall. They couldn't get in. There's a wall around the church, folks. The wall. This is a place of protection for you and I. As God's children, we can come here and be protected for a little while we're here, from the world, from the things of the world that would induce us and seduce us and all kinds of things to get us to do wrong when we're not in God's house. You know, it's a dangerous thing, folks, to miss church. It really is. I have missed church a few times in my life. I have. And you know what? I didn't feel right. And you know, I thank God for that. I thank God that He convicted me in my heart. Hey, you ought to be in church. You ought to be in church. It's very important. The value. We're inspired. We're instructed. We have the opportunity to participate in the Lord's work and what He's doing. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was excited. I remember the time, I was probably 8 or 10 years old, probably about 8 years old. My dad liked to fish. He told me one day, he said, son, I want you to take your fishing with me tomorrow. He said, now we're going to have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go fishing. I couldn't understand it to save my life. How are you going to fish at 4 o'clock in the morning? It's dark. But anyway, I said, okay. So you know how it is when you go to bed and you're going to go somewhere the next day, especially with your dad as a young boy. I was so excited about getting up and going with my dad fishing the next day. I didn't sleep much that night. 4 o'clock, he came in there and woke me up. I got up. I was already dressed. I was already ready to go. And all I had to do was get up and go. And I got up and we got in the car and took off, you know, and me and him and there was two more guys. Went out to Goose Creek. Brother JB, you know where that is. Went out to Goose Creek, got down there and got our boats, you know. And it was dark. I mean, we were stumbling to get our boats out and all that stuff, you know. But you, what I'm saying is I was glad. I was glad to have the opportunity. I was glad for my dad to say to me, son, tomorrow I'm going to take you fishing with me. That was good news to me, you know. And I was glad for that opportunity to be my dad that day. I didn't catch much fish, but I ate a lot of onion sausage and crackers. You know, I had a good time. You know, but he caught right many fish. I'm not much of a fisherman. But nevertheless, I enjoyed that time with him. And likewise, with God's people. I love to be in God's house with God's people. I really do. It's a privilege. It's a joy. Here's a protection. We find here in verse number 4 how believers gave their testimony here about the house, about Jerusalem. This was a wonderful place for them to go to. A place they enjoyed going and being together. We also see in verse 5 was a place of judgment. That is, evaluating the good and the bad. And establishing what's right and wrong. And we do that through the teaching of the Word of God. The teaching of the Word of God evaluates what's right and what's wrong. And instructs us with that as we go through it here. We notice also in verse number 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love them. Pray for Jerusalem. We surely ought to pray for Jerusalem today, have we not? But we ought to pray for the church today too. Pray for the church today. Pray. Prayer is so important. Where God Himself dwelt, we need to pray. We need to pray about this. Where justice was, it's very important. Where influence is today, we need to pray for it. The church should influence the world. The world should not influence the church. Therefore, we need to pray for our church today. Our church is one another. Individuals. We pray. Sometimes I come in here myself and I'll sit right on the pew and I'll just begin to think about people in the pews. Sometimes I walk around and I try to picture people sitting like you are tonight on Sunday night. And I'll say, God, I pray you bless these people this week. Give them a good week. You know, just I don't know, sometimes God lays it on my heart to do that. You know, and I know you pray for people too throughout the week. That's what church is all about, folks. Praying for one another, encouraging one another. You see, praying for the church is so important that we have peace and we prosper here in this church. Also, peaceful influence on others. Verse 8 and 9 says, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. We need to pray. We need to consider others. We need to care for our family and the needs that are there. We need to pray. To find peace of mind and peace with others, you must find peace, first of all, with God. To find peace of mind and peace with others, first of all, you must find peace with God. We don't have peace with God. We don't have peace with anyone in this world. So it's so important. Now we have the value of church attendance. We see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see His example in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. We notice as a young lad, it was even his custom to go to Nazareth, to get in the synagogue and to begin to read the scriptures and to teach. That was his custom, to go. So He is our example. It's good to be in God's house. We also see the examples of the apostles as they worshiped Him. They worshiped the Lord Jesus in the temple. The Bible says they did it continually, praising Him day after day, day after day, because of the goodness of God to them in their lives. So folks, tonight, what I'm saying to you, the value of church attendance is so important. We have the joy of being together in God's house. We can esteem one another in God's house. We can pray for one another in God's house. There's no greater place to be, folks, tonight than in God's house with God's people. I'm glad we have the opportunity. I'm glad that you didn't miss church tonight. I'm glad that I didn't miss church tonight, because this is where I needed to be, to realize how valuable it is to be in God's house. Listen, you're going to need something that's been said tonight this week. You're going to need something that was said this morning from our pastor this week to encourage you, to influence you in the right way. And I'm glad that we have the precious Word of God to give us the strength, to give us the mind, to give us the discernment that we need in every situation that we face in life. We're going through hard times. We're going through hard times in life today. But you know what? Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I may not get what I want in my life, but I can get what I need. As Brother Wheeler leads us every Sunday morning on that song, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. He truly is all we need today. And you know, when we come to church, we're going to hear about Him, aren't we? We're going to exalt Him. We're going to praise Him for what He's done. I thank God tonight that you and I have had the privilege to be together. I trust this week as you go out, wherever you go, that you and I both will be a witness for the Lord, a witness of His grace, His love, His mercy in our lives that can be spread abroad in other people's lives. Thank God for the church, folks. Let's not take for granted the church. Let's not take for granted one another. May God help us to love one another more than we ever have before. We're to comfort one another with words of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. But until then, we have a work to do. We have a task to perform. It's all through and by the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight for the church. I thank God that we can come to church. I have somewhere to go. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I have somewhere to go, folks. Somewhere that I can somehow, with God's help, bring honor and glory to Him. I can share His love with somebody else. Now, the rest of the time of my life, I have to do what I have to do. But I'm thankful for these times that I have, that I can be in God's house. I can be in God's house. Because you're in God's house, because I'm in God's house, I believe with all my heart, we will be a better Christian. We will be a better Christian. Now, it's not just, again, sitting and listening to the preachers, listening to a teacher, but taking what we hear and taking it home and studying it and asking God to give us a sermon and God giving us help. He'll do that if we ask Him to. I trust you have a great week this week as you go forth, and you will rejoice in the fact that you and I can come together in God's church, God's house, and meet together as a church group. Thank God tonight for the church. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for loving us. Thank you to God for this privilege again tonight we've had to be gathered together here in this place. Lord, we know this building is not the church. Lord, we know these people are. And God, we're grateful tonight that we have the opportunity to be here together. Lord, I don't know the hearts of people here tonight, but you do. Lord, there might be somebody here for the first time tonight that knows not Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray tonight, if it be their heart, their condition tonight, I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God might draw them to the Lamb of God before it's too late. Lord, this world offers a lot of things that never satisfy. But Lord, I know that when we give our hearts, our lives to you by faith and put our trust in you and ask you to save us and forgive us, you will. And Lord, we experience joy that the world knows nothing about. God, help that one tonight that might be on the threshold, might be thinking about trusting Christ as Savior, yet never has, but needs to come tonight. Would you draw them to you tonight? Would you lead and guide? Would you help your children tonight? All of us together to be thankful that we've had the privilege tonight to be in your house, that we have the privilege on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to come together, Lord, to be inspired, to be instructed, Lord, and to participate, Lord, in the work of the church.